الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وأصحابه أجمعين ومن اهتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، نستمر إن شاء الله تعالى. We continue بإذن الله تعالى with شرح الورقات with the explanation of العلامة محمد بن صالح العثيمين rahmatullahi alayhi. And we reached a point in which the muallif, he says, ma'ani dhann wal wahmi wal shak, ma'ani dhann wal wahmi wal shak. And that is, he's after talking about knowledge, the different types of perception, he's now going to enter the meaning of adh-dhan, the meaning of adh-dhan, which is conjecture or confidence, yani. And al-wahm and shak. A shak being meaning doubt, and al-wahm incorrect perception. Incorrect perception. So a dhan is on a scale of 100%. It's not 100%, but it's closer to 100% than it is to zero. And al-waham, which is incorrect perception, is closer to zero. And a shak, which is doubt, is in between. Is in between. And he goes into detail regarding these three. قال رحمه الله تعالى معنى الظن تجويز أمرين ما ترجيح أحدهما على الآخر لظهوره في نظر المجوز كترددي في قدوم أخيك أمس من سفره وعدم قدومه ما ترجيح أهدهما أو عبارة أوضح إدراك الطرف الراجح إدراك الطرف الراجح. معنى الشك تجويز أمرين لا مزية لأهدهما على الآخر في نظر المجوز كنزول المطر الآن في الجهة فلانية وعدم نزوله دون ترجيح لأهدهما. معنى الوهم إدراك طرف المرجوح إدراك طرف الطرف المرجوح. This is the مقطع here regarding معاني الظن والوهم والشك. And that is that he, رحمه الله تعالى, he began with a dhan. And he mentioned the definition of dhan. And what we'll do to simplify this portion of al-waraqat, insha'Allah ta'ala, from the tariqa that was taken by the Allama rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Ibn Salih Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. And that is the definition of dhan. Let's concentrate on the definition of dhan. The definition of dhan is tajweezu ahad al-amrayn مع ترجيح أحدهما، تجويز أحد الأمرين مع ترجيح أحدهما، والراجح هو الظن والمرجوح وهم. So in this definition here we have the definition of al-dhan and al-wahm. Definition of dhan, which is conjecture or something that's not 100%. So the definition, barakallahu feekum, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the definition of al-dhan, and we can say al-wahm as well, is tajweezu ahad al-amrayni ma tarjihi ahadihima wal-rajihu huwa al-dhannu wal-marjuhu wahmu. And that is the definition that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih rahimahullah ta'ala he mentions, and that is that in the existence of two affairs, where one of them dominates the other, one of them has predominance of the other, and one of them is more correct than the other one. تَجْوِيزُ أَحَدِ الْأَمْرَيْنِ مَعَ تَرْجِيحِ أَحَدِهِمَا One of these two affairs is more correct and stronger than the other. So then he says, Rahimullah, وَالرَّاجِحُ The one that is more correct, the one that one chooses, this is dhan. This is the one that is closer to the truth, closer to the correct affair, and that is the dhan. This is rajih. And the one that is not selected, the one that is not dominant, the weaker is al-waham. This is waham, incorrect perception. So in this definition here, tajweez wa ahad al-amrain, so we have two affairs. So for dhan you have two affairs, and for waham you have two affairs. But you may have to make tarjih. You have to choose one of these two affairs, these two choices. And the one that is the strongest is dhan. This is the rajih. This is the one that is predominant. And the one that is weak is waham. And this is incorrect perception. This is the definition, barakallahu fikum, of dhan and waham. And that is that a dhan, I repeat, is a rajih, is the one that is strongest in the choice of two. And the waham is the one that is not strong, is weak, and therefore not taken as a correct position, so to speak. This is waham. So there's a definition of the two. And this is why the Mu'allif, he says, Rahimullah, ma'na al-wahmi idraku taraf al-marjuh. And in the meaning of waham, incorrect perception, is selecting that which is not strong, that which is not accepted, that which is not the correct choice. This is waham. And therefore, al-dhan, he says, Rahimullah ta'ala, al-dhan, he says, tajweezu amrayni ma tarjihi ahadihima ala al-akhar. The dhan is when you select the correct and strong one. And this is according to the istilah that some of the ulama of usul have laid down. That's the first point that we wanted to mention. The second point that we wanted to mention is the definition of shak. So the first point is the definition of dhan and waham, and they're opposites. They are opposites. As for shak, he says, Rahimullah, that shak is tajweezu amrayni la maziyata li ahdihima. And that is a choice of two things where one is not more superior than the other. La maziyata li ahdihima على الآخر في النظر المجوز. So the one that's looking into the affair, he's in doubt because one affair, or the two affairs, not one is dominant over the other. as it relates to correctness. And this is shak. And this is what is called doubt. And this is what is called doubt. Now, and that's according to some of the istilah of the ulama of usul. But Shaykh ibn Thaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, لَكِنْ إِعْلَمْ أَنَّ شَكَّ إِذَا كَانَ فِي بَابِ الطَّهَارَةِ وَقَالُوا شَكْ فَإِنَّهُ يَشْمُلْ حَتَّى الظَّنُّ وَالْوَهَمْ فَمَا يُوجَدُ فِي كُتُبِ الْفُقَهَاءِ إِنَّ شَكَّ فِي الطَّهَارَةِ طَهَارَةِ مَا أَوْ نَجَاسَتِهِ. نعم. So, shak, doubt, according to some of the istilah of the fuqaha, also incorporates al-dhan and al-wahm. It incorporates dhan and wahm all together. And all of these are opposites of yaqeen. All of these are the opposites of certainty. Na'am. Ilm, knowledge, certainty. Which is why, when an individual is upon tahara, purity, and he's in a state of ablution, this is something that he is sure about. This is yaqeen. وَالْيَقِينُ لَا يَزِيلُ بِالشَّكِّ. And certainty is not removed with doubt. And this statement here, with doubt, this is from the usul. And the ulama of usul have used this meaning to incorporate waham and dhan, in that they are all opposites of yaqeen. So therefore, the individual who has tahara, tawadda, he made wudu, he has yaqeen that he's upon tahara, that he has ablution, certainty, and then some doubt comes to his mind whether he, salamakum Allah, is still in a state of wudu. Hatta walaw ahassa bi harakatin fi batnihi wa tarajjaha 'indahu annahu ahdatha fa innahu la yalzamuhu al-wudu. And that is that the individual, even if he, for example, in this state of wudu he is in, and he feels something in his stomach, and he's thinking to himself, is more than likely, yani dhan, again, it's closer to 100%, but not 100%, not yaqeen, not certainty. But he thinks, it's more than likely I may have lost my wudu. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَلْزِمَهُ الْوُضُوءُ. He doesn't have to go and do wudu, because it's not yaqeen. And the qaid is al-yaqeenu la yazul bishak, and that is that certainty is not removed by doubt, and the doubt in this qaida, in this principle, includes al-dhan wal-waham wal-shak. It includes conjecture, incorrect perception, and doubt. All of these three are opposites to al-yaqeen, to certainty. Point number three, and that is that, taken from the statement of the mu'allif, rahimahullah, when he's talking about idraq, so we can say that al-idraqat khamsatu aqsamin, and that is perception, according to what the mu'allif, the author, has mentioned so far, is that perception is of five categories. Perception is of five categories. Al-ilm wal-jahl wal-dhan wahmun wal-shak. Ilmun wa-jahlun wa-dhannun wahmun wa-shak. And that is knowledge, ignorance, number two, conjecture, dhan, number three, waham, incorrect perception, number four, washak, number five. Washak, number five. And to be honest with you, shak should be in the middle because it's in between. But these are the five different idrakat, five different perceptions. And we've mentioned together, we've studied together in this book, the definition of al-ilm. The definition of al-ilm. And that is al-ilm huwa إدراك الشيء إدراكا جازما مطابقا للواقع، إدراك الشيء إدراكا جازما مطابقا للواقع. That is perceiving something. Knowledge is perceiving something with full certain perception. Perceiving something with certain perception, and this perception is in accordance to reality or the real state of affairs. So that's the definition of ilm. Naam. فإذا علم knowledge نعم is إدراك شيء is perceiving something with a perception that is certain, with a perception that is certain, يعني perception that is جازمًا, it's certain, it has يقين, and that certainty is مطابقًا للواقع, and that perception is in accordance to the real state of affairs, in accordance to reality, in accordance to what it really is. As for the second, the jahl, we mentioned before, to summarize, we're summarizing now, the jahl al-basit, jahl al-basit, and that is adam idrak bil-kulliyya, فَلَا يَعْرُفْ نِسْبَةُ شَيْءٍ لِلْآخَرِ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ جَهْلًا بَسِيطًا. And that is that the not having a perception, yani completely not having a perception of something, and he doesn't know the details or intricacies regarding this and others, so he's ignorant, and this is a plain ignorance, and he just doesn't know. This is jahl murakkab, and jahl is split to another category, and that's jahl murakkab. Sorry, the first was jahl basit. Sorry, jahl basit, and the second category is jahl al-murakkab, and that is twofold ignorance, if you remember. And that's idrakuhu ala ghayri ma huwa alayh. And that is, he's got a perception, but he thinks he's got the correct perception, but in reality, he's got the wrong perception. Because the definition of ilm is mutabiqan lilwaqi'. Because the definition of knowledge is that it is in accordance to reality and the state of affairs. Naam. Like, for example, an individual, he has idrak al-jazim, he has a certain perception that the capital of Saudiya is Jeddah. He's certain. He said, no, it's Jeddah. So he has this certain perception. But this perception is not knowledge, because it's not mutabiqan lilwaqi', it's not in accordance to reality, as the asima and the capital of Saudiya is Riyadh. That is the waqi', that is the state, real state of affairs. So he has a jahl murakkab, he's ignorant to the fact that he's ignorant of his own ignorance, twofold ignorance, jahl murakkab. Naam. And if you look at the definition of ilm, it says here, the Shaykh defines it as idrakan jaziman. يقول الشارح idrakan jaziman. Is perception of certainty. Now this part here, perception with certainty, eliminates dhan, which is not fully 100%. And it eliminates shak, doubt, which is in between, 50-50. And it cancels al-waham, it cancels out al-waham, and that is the wrong choice of two. The wrong choice of two. So therefore, this definition of ilm is very daqiq, and that is idraku shay idrakan jaziman mutabiqan lilwaqi', and that is perceiving something with a certainty, and that certain thing that the person perceives is according to the reality. So these are the five different idrakat, and that is ilm, wajahl, wadhan, waham, and shak, knowledge, ignorance, conjecture, incorrect perception, and doubt. And then the Mu'allif rahimullah, Musannif al-Waraqat, he says, Mabahithu usul al-fuqh. He says, Mabahith usul al-fuqh. And then he says the different issues and matters to be looked at as it relates to usul al-fuqh. So now we're going into the meaty part of the book of Waraqat, where we're dealing with Naam. For the Mu'allif, he said, Rahimullah, Mabahithu usul al-fuqh. Different issues and things to be looked at as it relates to usul al-fiqh. He says, Al-bahthu fi usul al-fiqh yanhasiru ila aw fi umurin thalatha. And that is that when we're looking at usul al-fiqh, we can say it's categorized into three affairs or three main categories. And that is going back to the initial definition that we mentioned about usul al-fiqh. And that is that the first one is the turuq al-fiqh, yani adillatuhu al-ijmaliyya. And that is that we look at the general proofs or principles taken regarding the texts. We look at the general istidlal or adilla al-ijmaliyya, not going into tafsil, not going into details regarding fiqh. And the second one that he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, in this maqta, and that is kayfiyat al-istidlal. After one has understood that one has to have, for usul al-fiqh, the general adilla al-ijmaliyya, then the second affair that he will go into is kayfiyat al-istidlal bil-adilla al-ijmaliyya. How to use these general proofs. How does one use these general proofs? As-sabiqah. Naam. To come to a hukum mu'ayyin. To come to a specific ruling or to a specific end. And that goes in accordance to al-khas, al-am. Something that is specific. Something that is general. Al-mutlaq. Al-muqayyid. Something that is absolute or something that is restricted. Naam. Al-nasikh wa-mansukh. Something that is that abrogates or something that is abrogated. And the final third aspect that we're going to go into inshallah regarding usul al-fiqh is hal al-mustafid or hal al-mujtahid. Is the mujtahid, the jurist, the one who does ijtihad, and its conditions of the one that does ijtihad, the one that gives fatwa, its conditions, the one who is a mujtahid, wa mustadil, the one who is going to go into these texts and come with a result as it relates to the revelation, come to a result, a general result, a result that is correct. And this is the mujtahid. And these are the three mabahith that is mentioned here in Al-Waraqat. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, I mentioned them in general today. And due to obviously the time and so forth and other factors regarding the itisal and so forth, we will inshallah bi-idhnillah deal with these three different mabahith aspects of usul al-fiqh next week bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. والحمد لله رب العالمين